I had more caffeine right now.
And you'd be like, what?
I'm already there, though.
You know, what's
like,
that?
I'm already, like, I'm just starting to, like, finally be more calm.
Yeah.
But, take like, I don't know if you ever, if you experience that, like, where it's like you have too much coffee, and though there are thoughts in your mind, like, converting them into speech is just not an option. It's yeah. like, it's, everything is, like, stifled them. It's like, oh, there's that. But it's like, you don't know what to say, so you say nothing at all.
I don't have much of a reaction to caffeine, actually, which is good. I'm glad.
That used to, so I remember when I was first introduced to caffeine, coffee, obviously, a friend of mine, Frankie, we had stayed up all night.
Wait, now, as an Italian, you didn't have it as a kid?
No, I never, so my Nana, obviously, there was, like, people having coffee.
Oh, yeah, that was a huge thing of growing up. Yeah, yeah,
I never thought it was good, though.
And it was always, like, mostly milk with, like, a little bit of coffee. Yeah, yeah, exactly, yeah.
I never liked it, though. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? So it was, like, I didn't know that it was, like, a drug that had an effect.
Yeah, yeah.
So I remember, I was maybe 23 or something.
Oh, wow, yeah.
That's kind of a lie. I had Monster energy drinks, right?
Okay.
So it was like that, but I didn't know why I liked them,
because
my brain wasn't just putting it together. It was like, yo, there's caffeine in this. You like that. Mm-hmm, it's a stimulant.
Yeah, yeah.
But I remember, like, Frankie was like, you don't drink coffee? And I'm like, no. And we stayed up all night. We were going to go to Barnes & Noble, and he gave me a cup of coffee, and it was like I had slept. Like, I was like, I can go.
It, like, perked you right back
up. It was like, dude, I slept 8 hours. Let's go.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
And ever since then, I, like, really enjoyed it, to the point where, back then at least, for a while, I had developed this, it was like, I could have 3 pots of coffee, nothing.
And then fine, yeah.
Yeah, but then I quit. I stopped having.
You didn't get headaches and withdraw from
no,
it?
No, like, that's, people say that, but that's, nicotine, absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Caffeine, no. Mm-hmm. If anything, like, I feel better. Like, I'm like, oh, yeah, like, I'm calm and nice, and, but what happened? I quit. And then maybe, like, a couple months later, I went back to it. And ever since, I'm extraordinary. Like, I can have one cup of coffee, and I'm, like,
perked
like,
up.
It's not, it's like, it's just, it's so bad. It's like anxiety now. It's like, oh, my God, like, what's going, like, all the bad stuff. So, but it's still, I don't know, it still does something to me, which is odd, because I've been drinking it quite steadily now for, I think I started drinking it again in 2021, and it still has the effect on me.
Yeah.
So I don't know
if there's just... It's not building up somehow.
No, there's nothing. It's every day, it's like, no, you're going to have this cup of coffee, and you're going to feel wild for a couple hours.
like, woohoo!
Yeah, it's
bring
like,
it on!
Here we go! As long as I've realized, hydrated. You have to, you know what I mean? As long as you hydrate, you're good.
Yeah, yeah. What was that look for?
You didn't just hear that?
Oh, was it my chair, maybe?
It may have been.
Yeah, some kind of weird...
It was like, I'm going to move over.
Some kind of weird thing with my chair.
I thought it was like a fly or something.
No, it's just my chair.
Oh. It's nice here.
Yeah, it's good, huh?
You want
super peaceful. All right, sure, yeah.
You want to try it?
Yeah, sure, thanks.
You just put it in your lip. Mm. It settles it down. Mm. You don't need any... You're not supposed to swallow it. I do. Mm-hmm. I think this is his yogi chair.
Yeah, right, this right. Like, yeah, exactly.
What questions do you have?
Right, what questions do you have?
Have you ever met any, like, obviously you've been to India, so it's like you've seen and talked with people that are, like, involved in these traditions.
Well, interestingly enough, like, when I go to India, it isn't really... Like, we often have that stereotype, right, of, like, Americans going to India for, like, some,
spiritual,
you know, spiritual awakening and something like that.
I took your seat. I'm sorry.
Hey, Joel, did I leave my coffee in the... I think I might have left my coffee.
I just brought that out for you. Sam didn't want it.
Yeah, that's yours.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I do my... Can you bring out my cream, the creamer?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thanks.
Do you want sugar, too?
No, just that creamer has sugar in it, so that's perfect. Yeah, so I don't go there for that reason.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I have always had a deep love of Indian culture. I mean, for a very, very long time. So it started when I, thanks, Joel. It started when I was a kid. I was 11 years old, I think 11, 12 something, when the Gandhi movie came out, you know, the Ben Kingsley Gandhi movie. And, I was in the movie theater, and I saw the movie, and you know, I'm like a kid, right? I was like in fourth grade and, you know, all my classmates are like, oh my God, like this movie's 3 hours long. What are we doing? Like, it's so boring, right? And I was riveted. I mean, absolutely just riveted. And like, I was super emotional, like, you know, like through the whole thing. And I remember being at the end of the movie and I was just like, what the hell was that just happened to me? And so from that point forward, I was like, I felt this profound connection to India. Like, inexplicable. I had never met anyone from India prior to that. I'd never had any connection to it whatsoever. And something about that, the movie, and I don't know, I can't explain it. You know, and it got me in my later years really thinking about, like, reincarnation.
Yeah.
You know, and, like, is this, like, a past life thing? Yeah. Right? So, yeah, so then I just always knew, like, I've got to go to India. And so I went for the first time in 2002, and then I went, and then I've been, like...
Which must have been, like, a dream come true at that
point. Oh, it was amazing. Yes. And it was so crazy, because I remember, like, getting off the plane in Delhi, like, we flew into Delhi, and getting off the plane, and, like, the minute that my feet touched the ground, I was like, I'm home. Mm-hmm. I'd never felt home anywhere in my life, anywhere. No matter where I'd been, I'd never felt at home. And there was something about it that I was like, I'm home. That's it. And so I just feel like a deep draw, attraction to the people, to the place. And I've often wondered, like, if it was, I was adopted. And I've often wondered if it has something to do with being adopted, because it was like, there's such a sense of, like, you belong. When you go there, there's such a sense of family and community among the like, all of the people that are in India, right? Like, families are super tight. And so when I was there in 2018, I had this just amazing experience of, I was visiting a very close friend of mine, and we were deciding, like, where we were going to go. This is in Nagpur, which is in central India, and we were going to take a trip to Madhya Pradesh, which is, like, north. And so, so if you were going to plan a trip with a friend, right, you would just be like, okay, hey, these are the options. We could take a bus, train, we could take a motorcycle, we could take a car, we could, right, whatever. You'd have, like, a 10-minute conversation, and you'd figure it out between the two of you, right? Mm, yeah, and you'd be sure. Like, okay, that's what I'm doing, right? Yeah. Oh, no, it's not like that in India. You have everybody. There were all of the people that he lived with, like, we had the input of 7 other people who were like, well, here are the advantages and disadvantages of taking a motorcycle, and here are the advantages and disadvantages of taking a car, and doing this and doing that, and, like, what if there's weather, and blah, 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 and how much suitcase, and I'd never been in an experience like that, where they're not going. Those other people are not going. Yeah, it is only the two of us. They have no investment whatsoever in how we decide to get ourselves to Madhya Pradesh. And it was such an amazing experience for me, because I was like, I don't, like, why do they care, right? Like, what possible reason do they have? They were genuinely invested in how we did this, not because they're control freaks, but because they cared that we were safe, that the trip was the best it could possibly be, that it was the most affordable. And that was, I think, one of my first experiences of, like, a truly collectivist culture, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. It's not even having a direct impact on them, but they cared so much about what the experience was going to be like for us.
Yeah, they gave us
hours and hours and hours. I mean, hours. Of, like,
I'm like, guys, it's all right. Mm-hmm. We're taking a train. All
right, right. And this was me too.
Yeah.
So I had my own learning curve around it, right? And I'm the oldest in the group by far. I'm with a bunch of, like, you know, I think the oldest person was maybe 30, and I was, like, you know, 50 by then, in my late 40s. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, we're just going to take a motorcycle. Like, what are we doing? Like, why are we having this big discussion? Okay, I'm going to decide.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had to learn that, right? That, like, oh, yeah, I didn't think about that. And realize, like, how beneficial the collective was, it slowed down the process. significantly. This, I'm talking, when I say hours, I'm talking 6-7 hour conversation over what we're gonna do, right?
It almost seems like some, it almost seems a little bit inefficient, like, where it's like,
it's completely like... inefficient, but, and it, there's nothing efficient about it. However, when we sat down and talked about all of the different options, it was like, oh yeah, I didn't think about that, right? The collective mind. Mm. And so I felt that, especially because, like, my brother's 8 years older than I am, I was basically an only child, right? Because he was out of the house by the time I was, you know, started to grow up. And so I felt very isolated as a kid. And so I often wondered if, like, something about Indian culture really attracts me, like, something about the collectivism and the care for everyone in the community was attractive to me. Like, I don't have to make all the decisions myself, right? That, like, I have this supportive community that can sort of help me think through decisions.
For sure.
Yeah, and so I definitely, that's something I've had to learn a lot in my sort of acculturation to Indian culture, is like, yeah, it's not, I think as Americans, sometimes we think we know it all, right? I mean, I definitely think we have that attitude sometimes.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, I definitely have found myself, like, I don't think I've ever experienced, like, a collectivist kind of, like...
That sort of thing.
But I do think that there is a closeness to, didn't resonate with you. And, like,
it was like, while I was talking, it was like, yeah, I was like, oh.
I think that... there is a certain closeness that exists other places that we don't have here.
Totally.
And so it's like, that's kind of like why I want to get the fuck out of here as soon as possible.
Right.
But it's like, I don't know if, I kind of try to approach everything like, well, I don't know anything about this. But I think that's just me, right?
Right.
Not saying that that doesn't exist in other people. I'm sure that it does. But, like, I don't know. Like, I've never experienced anything like that. It attracts me too.
Yeah.
Though, like, to where you could possibly go somewhere and just end up with people caring about you, as opposed to here where, like, literally no one does. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
No one gives a fuck about what you're doing.
Yeah. It's so different. And I know that, like, a lot of my Indian friends, they really struggle sometimes when they are coming to the U.S. for the first time, because they, you know, they're like, wait a minute, like, it's really hard, I think, for many of them, what they've shared is that it can be really difficult to sort of break into American culture, right? Because they're, when you go to India, the reason why I have so many friends in India is because they just take you in. Like, you just feel like you belong. There's just an absolute welcoming of, like, you know, that's part of Hindu philosophy too, is, right, like, you treat the stranger like a god.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's, but it is so... I mean, it is not just a philosophy. It is a way of life. Like, you are brought into people's homes, and they treat you just like family.
That's awesome.
And so there's, I think there was a sense of, like, that, I don't know, there's just something about, like, I don't have to figure this out on my own.
I remember, I'll never forget that. This is, like, making me think of the first time my cousin Veronica came here from Italy, and she saw a man eating in his car. And she thought that was, like, this
so
sad.
So sad.
She was like, look.
Right.
And I was like.
Right.
To me, it was like, I
normal,
do it all the
right?
time. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But, like, to her, it was like, where's the closeness? Mm-hmm. Like, where, like, there's nobody, he doesn't have a family, like,
right.
He's not eating with anyone. And I'm like.
Even like, in India, you'll see, like, the auto rickshaw drivers, right? Like, you'll never, I don't want to say never, but, like, you'll see them all pulled over together. Right? There'll be, like, 5 or 6 of the auto rickshaws lined up, and they're all eating together.
That's awesome.
You just don't see that. Like, I can't even remember a time of walking into a restaurant and seeing someone eating by themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's incredible.
It's funny. Like, that is... Like, when somebody asks me why Ireland, like, why I pick Ireland...
Yeah, talk to me
about that. Obviously, that's not, like, they're not... I don't know if they're comparable in any ways, like, India, but, like, at least in the way of, like...
And have you been there before? Or?
Ireland?
Yeah.
Yeah, I lived there.
Oh, you did
like
live there?
It was like for a year.
Oh,
I stayed there.
Okay.
But it was, like, I've been to Ireland, I think, 6 times now.
Oh, wow,
like,
wow,
yeah,
okay, wow, wow.
But, I'm trying to think, what the hell was I saying? Mm. So, one thing that, I explained this to somebody recently, and I don't know, I explained it really well when I was talking to them, but there is like a, like, that's it. Like, even when you're talking about those rickshaw drivers,
mm-hmm.
that sense of community. That's like
going to the pub. Like, what is this true? Like, I sort of have this fantasy in my head because I've never been to Ireland or like London or anything like that, where you go to the pub and like everybody kind of like there's just this sense.
No,
of
that's
community.
That's what it is.
Okay.
Me, I'm like, okay, like going.
So
to
I'm
the,
not stereotyping.
No,
that's kind
no,
of, okay,
like
okay.
That's like. I mean, obviously, maybe in like bigger cities, it's not like
okay,
really
okay.
like that. Like, I'm sure in Dublin in
uh-huh.
the neighborhoods, yeah.
Okay,
but like in. Like, obviously the most touristy
mm-hmm,
areas,
mm-hmm.
probably not.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, where I was, mm-hmm. it was like, yo, we go to this pub. That's,
mm-hmm.
like, we're... And it was, like, Howie and his friends that he's known his whole life.
Right.
And their wives.
Yes.
And their kids and their fathers. And
oh,
like,
my God.
And it was just, like, we don't have anything... Like, when I think about going to the bar here, it's
mm-hmm.
like, oh, great.
I'm going to sit there by myself.
Yeah, a bunch
or...
of 21-year-old kids
right, right,
screaming.
Right,
like,
right.
You know, and it's like,
exactly.
And no one, and like, it has no real history.
Is that what the appeal of Aroma Cafe is?
So,
is that
yeah.
there's some sense of like familiarity and
I
community
think that's
building?
What, that's kind of what they said, is that like mm-hmm. they want to be like that, whatever that is, that archetype of like Cheers. You know what
yes,
I mean? Where it's
yes,
like,
yes, yes.
You do want to go somewhere where
yeah.
it's, like, you're social. Everyone knows you.
Right.
There's, like, some, like, there's something good about that. You know what I mean? And, like, a lot of other places have it.
And did you not experience that growing up Italian? I mean, I, you know, we're both Italian, and, like, I definitely grew up with that when I was a kid. We had extended family around, and, you know.
No, I think it's the fact that I did grow up with that, and
uh-huh.
because, like, growing older... Your family's dying off. Your
yes.
cousins are moving away.
Right, right, right.
Then
right.
the old neighborhood ain't the neighborhood
right,
anymore.
Right, right.
Whereas, like, it's like, I don't... What the fuck happened to everybody?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
where
yeah,
did
yeah.
everybody go?
Right, right.
And, like, I think more so because I did grow up like that, where, like, you could walk down to the corner of my block,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and there was just guys, and it was like, yo, what's going on? You know
mm-hmm,
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was there, and you had... You went to Sunday dinner and
mm-hmm.
there, every,
yep. oh,
everyone
yes.
was
Sunday
there.
Sauce.
That's
Did
what
you have
I'm
Sunday
saying.
Sauce?
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
yeah, totally.
And everyone, you know what I'm saying? All your aunts, all your
yep,
uncles,
yep.
all your cousins, everybody was there. And now it's like, as you get older, that shit vanishes.
Mm.
And you don't really know how good it was looking
mm-hmm.
back on it.
Mm-hmm.
But.
And that's what you feel draws you to Ireland.
Yeah, it's like,
uh-huh.
wow, you guys still do this.
Mm.
Like, it didn't, like, you never were like, well, fuck this, I'm going to move fucking. Like, because you got to remember, too. Like, even if you move somewhere else in Ireland, you're still right there. You know what I'm saying? That's like moving to, like, PA or something.
Uh-huh,
you know what I'm saying? It's
right,
like, bro,
right.
you're not
you're
that
still,
far.
You're
yeah.
still in it.
Yeah. So it's like...
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I saw that, and there was something... And not to mention, I like, there's something about that people that, like... I don't know what it is, but, like, them and the Scots, where it's like... Even the English, too, even though they're, like, somewhat different, but, like, the poor English, there's something about them where it's like, yo, you could fist fight one of them, and then be in
the
bar...
The next day, you're having a drink together.
That night.
Uh-huh.
You
yeah,
know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's
right,
like,
right,
you
right.
guys, all right, good.
So what do you think nice. Is... What do you think is the reason why we don't have that here?
I don't know. I mean, obviously, like... It's more... I don't know... See, this is, like, we're gonna go into, like, realms where, like, I'm really... I've made it... Like, I've been intentional about, like... I don't give that fuck that much of a fuck about, like, the economy. I don't care about, like, capitalism or commie. I don't care. I'm sorry. I just don't. I want to. I can't even say that I want to care, because I don't want to care. But at the same time, it's like, I just don't.
Yeah, but as a philosopher, like, if you were to look at, like... If you were to look at sort of the philosophical underpinning of American culture...
That's another thing, too, though, is that, like, I feel like all of my... philosophical, like, the things that I like about it, even though I
like about what the it is what,
like, I love metaphysics, right?
Yeah,
I love, like, logic,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like, I love stuff like that. I love philosophy of mind.
Yeah,
we
yeah,
talk
yeah.
about
yeah, yeah, yeah.
concepts from that for forever, but like, I don't know if any of that does anything other than, like, give me a sense of, like, an ability to be analytical about things. Like, I don't know anything about capitalism. Literally nothing.
So,
like,
can you apply those analytical skills that attract you to, like, philosophy of mind and logic to sort of a cultural system in the United States that pushes us away from this sense of collectivism?
Yeah, I think so.
Uh-huh.
But it was
yeah,
like,
that's,
we
yeah.
would have to, like, there would be, like, at least from what I've understood about, like, having conversations, like, because obviously we live in a world that is extraordinary. Like, we live in a time where it's like, it's crazy, right? Like, the left and the right and everything.
You mean
that,
how polarizing
it is. Yeah,
how
polarizing it is. And, like, the way, and, like, just the things that it affects the day-to-day life, right? Like, you go out and there's a big Trump rally or there's a big protest or something like that, and you don't know how to feel or, like, what you should be thinking about this current issue or and stuff like that. But, like, I've kind of, now that, I don't know if this is actually true anymore, but, like, when I actually had a criminal record, I at least was told, I actually don't think it's true, that I couldn't vote anymore. But at that point, I was just like, great, nothing more to worry about.
You checked me out of the system. I didn't have to do it myself. Thanks guys.
I no longer have to care because I can't take part in the process.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
So, but yeah, I think it would, but I guess what I was saying is that it would be with a lot of missteps. Like, I would have a lot of, like, preconceived notions that are probably bullshit, or, like, you know what I mean? Like, it would be, like, with a lot of, like, just, like, assumptions and, like, stuff like that, that I don't feel like doing the work to work through. This is the way I see the world in this way, and I never do anything about it. It's not something that, like, my political, the things that I would like to see from the world in when it comes to politics, and stuff, I don't give that much of a fuck about it.
Would you like to see?
A humanity that works together. That's pretty much it. Like, that try, like, less suffering in the ways that I know that we could probably do something about, but we let, like, a fiction of, like, economy and, like, money get involved. It's like, it's odd to me that there's, like, even though this is going to be filled with a bunch of, like, judgments and value statements and stuff like that, where it's like, I think that if you can look at something that I would say is, like, I guess how it's been proposed to me or how it's been shown to me is, like, consciousness is somewhat a miracle, right? Like, not a miracle in the sense of, like...
We kind of touched on this just briefly at the cafe, remember?
Yeah.
We just started to talk about it, and then,
I don't even know if that's, like, I don't, like, I tend to withhold that. I'm an agnostic in many things.
Yeah,
like, it's not like I'm, like, oh, God, or anything. I don't know. I really, I would never sit here and be, like, you have to, like, God's there, and there's a purpose, and as a matter of fact, a lot of the times I'm more inclined to say that there isn't one, and that there is no purpose. And that this is all probably just stupid bullshit. We're privy to a fucking reality where it's like, you're gonna die and that's infinity like that. That's probably more where I align. But then I hear things, and obviously there's something really human about the hope that arises in me to say, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, wow, consciousness actually might be.
So where do you think that hope arises from?
Probably just like... like,
do you think it's conditioned, or do you think it's something, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, like, I think it's probably like some kind of like biological thing that, like, where it's like, this will give you, like, maybe like a biological,
like a survival instinct, like a, almost,
like a, like a lean towards this. This is comfortable to think like this, because, like, when you're up at night thinking about your death and all that that entails, and it's scaring the shit out of you, you could probably, like, find some solace in the hope that, like, these concepts have, or whatever. But what was I was saying something about that. So, like, when you can look at that, if you could, like, if you could give the title of miraculous or something like that to consciousness, and then you look at something like money, right? And I know this is all, like, and this is another thing too, is that, like, I've realized that, like, these aren't very profound things, but, like, to me it just seems like, okay, there's a bunch of people starving. Feed them, you know what I mean? Who cares about the money that's involved? You know what I mean? It's like, but, like, again, that's not practical. That's not the way we live. That's not the way we do things. So it's like, I don't know of any good answers. I don't care to seek them out. I wish I could feed everybody on planet Earth. I wish I could cure cancer and every other disease. The sad part about that is that I can't do that, but I know as a species we probably could.
Collectively.
Yeah, like, it would, like, no, if we, it is a belief of mine that if tomorrow we woke up and on the television across the world it was broadcast, every single human mind be invested in the cure for cancer. Like, not, like, all cancers, right? Because I know that's an umbrella term. There's multiple different cancers. There's multiple different things. But I do think that, and not to say that, like, every mind has to contribute something to research, even if it was, you have to go serve burgers for the people who are going to drive the people to the, you know what I mean? Let's all do it. I do think that that would be a thing of the past soon to come. I do think that human beings have the ability to do amazing things.
So do you think we're too divided in our goals, or?
I just think, yeah, it's like there's, like, this emphasis, like, that's the thing that's wrong with my opinion, or, like, my view of the world, is that, like, I want to, like, eradicate diversity of, like, a thought and opinion, and, like, I want us to be, like, a hive mind, like...
Like, unified towards, like, something.
We are going to Mars, and we're going to colonize it, and that's our planet now, and we're going to traverse the stars. That's what we care about. We're a hive mind. We're... You know what I mean? And that's, like, nobody wants to live like that. You know what I mean? That's just, like... And I could see that that's taken some really ugly faces throughout history, right? So it's like, you should probably not think like that, Sam. You know what I mean? Or, not, like, not care enough about it to where it affects anybody else.
Well, it sounds like it's, like, how we direct it, right?
Yeah.
And that's rooted in our value system. So we can be, you know, we can be part of the Stasi, right? Which is like, okay, we want to, like, we want to put our mind toward one unified vision, right? That's pretty dark and evil. Or we can put our mind towards something that's beneficial for humanity, right? Yeah. But then we talk about what's beneficial, right?
Exactly,
yeah. And then it becomes my value system, right?
To them, that was valuable.
That was incredibly valuable.
That's another
for them.
Thing, too. Is like, I don't even know why I value human life so much.
Interesting.
Like, it could be all from, like, what I was saying earlier is that, like, I mean, well, you should value human life. And it could be... that it has some intrinsic value based off of the fact that it could be Mariah, it could be all these things. But, like, without that stuff, what basis do I have to value human life? I actually never have been given a good argument, and maybe that's something that you could do, or maybe somebody else could do, where it's, like, morals and ethics and all this stuff, I just never, I'm like, that's another part of philosophy where I'm just like, don't care that much. Because it's, like, to me, there may not be much truth in that. And, like,
you mean in terms of an absolute morality?
Yeah, it's like, where it's like, without, like, and I know people have tried to do it. I'm very young in my philosophical career of studying it, like, formally or whatever. But, like, when it comes to, like, objective morals, like, a naturalist view, where is that? Like, is, like, who's done it? Tell me what to read. And, like... No one, at least from what I've seen, there's no system that exists out there that anybody's ever, like, really developed that says, that suffices for most philosophers to say, that's the one. This is why we should believe this. There's no problems with that or something like that. So I've kind of been like, okay, it's not to say people shouldn't work on it or take it up or whatever, but it's like, that's why I'm more inclined, I like philosophy of math, because in mathematics there are truths, and they're necessary truths. They have to be that way. And, like, there's a beauty in the fact that 2 + 2 = 4. I know that. You know what I mean?
There's a comfort in the definitiveness of
it. It's like, this is, and, like, there's other things that people have said where it's like, math can be as beautiful as poetry. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Where it's like,
well, we kind of see that now with, like, physics, right? And, like, we're looking at physics and the ways that it kind of... I think we did talk about this the other night, of, like, physics intersecting with consciousness.
Yeah.
Right? And, like, are the components of physics, right, Planck's or quarks or whatever, do they have some...
level of consciousness?
Right? That we
it's
are
like
in somehow...
View.
Right, exactly. Like, that somehow we are imbued with that. And,
it's funny, because if you talk, like, I have a friend who's a professor of physics at UB. I won't say his name, but he is just completely against everything like that. So it's like... But then again...
So what's his view? I'm curious.
He's just a materialist.
Okay,
like, no,
total materialist.
This is
okay,
all...
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
all configuration
right,
of
right, right. Okay.
physical systems and somehow out of that. But I don't think... Another thing that I've realized about extremely... He's one of the smartest people I know. I don't know... him and the mathematics professor there, they're brilliant. But, like... But at least some... For people I've realized that are... Not them so much, but, like, I was dating a molecular... geneticist, and it's just like, you don't have any idea, like, the stuff that you say, like, she is very involved with the physical sciences, right? It's just like, we know this stuff, and this is the way it is, and it's like,
but you only know what questions you're asking. You only know the answers to the questions you're asking.
Yeah, and it, right? There are multi.
And you, we, there's so many things that we don't know. Yeah. We might not even be asking the right questions.
Yeah, and like it's like she thought philosophy was like so stupid, and it's like, but it's like to me, she's sitting there. She thinks philosophy is, do we see the same color the same way? And
does
me,
this chair that I'm sitting on exist?
Exactly, and, it, and even though those are like philosophical in nature, it's like right, that's right. Not you don't know what the fuck you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like,
how did those conversations go? I'm curious.
We didn't last long. You know what I mean? It's like, but it's like because it's disrespectful. B, I think it says like first off you like and I don't I want to say this in like some kind of like every scientist is somewhat of a philosopher in a way.
Oh, all of course.
It's like that's what it came. That's the every
because at the root of it. Okay, you know, philosophy is love of wisdom. Yeah, right?
No,
and so like. Isn't that what all scientists are doing? Is they're asking questions out of deep curiosity,
all of the physical,
which is exactly what philosophers are doing.
All of the physical sciences were born totally, out of philosophy.
Like, of course.
So it's like, to me...
In early, like, I mean, Hobbes and Locke and all those, they were absolute natural scientists, yeah. And philosophers,
yeah,
right?
They were called natural philosophers.
They were natural, yeah, exactly, right.
So it's like, okay, like, to me, it's like, you guys are doing, it's like, that's, so when... I sat down once with the physicist and I was like explaining to him about like because he said that he was like, no, it's all about configuration of physical systems. And then I can't remember what I can't remember if that's what he said, but I explained to him like there was a thing in philosophy of mind called multiple realizability about how like physical systems represent mental states in certain ways, but they don't like. That doesn't, they're not identical. Because there was like a problem with identity theory when it came to like, this brain state is pain, right? Where it's like, but it's like, it's been shown to say, no, it's actually not that. That this is a physical representation of pain in this system. But other systems represent pain in certain ways. And like that goes to show that it isn't just this brain state. So it was like, even though like leaving that topic off, but like showing, like explaining this to him and just being like, does this change your view at all? You know what I mean? Like, can you then, like, are you now, like, not saying you have to go completely the other way or even, like, marginally just a little bit. It's like, maybe will this make you think a little bit differently about, like, your presupposition, like
your steadfastness in your beliefs.
Yeah, like, right, oh, right, like right. It's all just physical. It's all just
right,
physical.
Right.
Even though it's like,
what about the idea of there being, like, a limited... Like a finite mechanical system, right? In other words, like we all have neurons, we all have, you know, we all have neurotransmitters, we all have sort of the same physiology, but yet the replications or the experiences of that are infinite, right? So the system itself, like we're all wired the same way, right? That's how we understand human behavior. It's how we understand, you know, like how my arms are moving right now as I'm talking because I'm Italian, right?
Yeah.
But we have infinite iterations of those. So the systems that we have are finite, right? But how we express those are infinite.
So like,
so that's another possibility,
it's
right?
Like a, yeah, yeah. Are you saying, like, the uniqueness of every system that comes into play is this is...
The expression of the systems.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, how, like, for example, the woman that you dated might approach that. Because to me, that's a bit of a, like...
They would probably, I don't know, it would be reduced somehow. Like, you know what
because
I mean?
Because
like,
because if you reduce that to that final point, then you are a pure materialist, right?
A question...
Then A equals B always.
Yeah, a question that I have about that, though, is it truly infinite the way that it can be expressed, or is there an amount of variables as to where...
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. I don't know, yeah. But it seems like, I mean, if it weren't infinite... Then let's just say as like a psychologist, we would be able to know for sure that this behavior can be rooted back to this, this, and this. And that would make psychology not a soft science. It would make it a hard science.
Yeah, but in that same way, I don't know if that's like, it's almost, it almost reminds me of like, in that Colin McGinn book that I read, where he was like, there are answers to questions where this may be a question like that, where even if consciousness isn't expressed infinitely or like to an infinite magnitude by our physical systems, like, maybe there are just way too many variables to ever be able that, to, like...
Right, and I think you're asking a really good question that, of course, like, I have no idea.
Yeah, it's like, because, right. Like, he asked the question...
Like, is like, it like pi, right, that just continues infinitely, and we don't know the end of it, right? Yeah. So the variables are just infinite, like, going back to kind of your philosophy of mind and math, right? So, like, does that mean that there's a set...
There's a set. There would have to be a set. Like, but mm-hmm. there are sets. There are infinite sets.
But right, exactly. Yeah, right.
And some infinities are bigger than others.
Exactly. So,
which is, that shit is
crazy. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But that's where I find a lot of people. I don't know what she would say to something like that, though. But she, I know, is not. A lot of the times I realize, like, it doesn't take. I can't say that. I don't want to say anything like that, like, to where, like, I sound pompous. Because I don't think I'm a very smart man. I just kind of, like, I like philosophy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, like, I'm more... But, like, there are people out there where you talk philosophy with them, and you're just like, wow, like, you're brilliant.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
and, like, I think there are certain sectors where it's like, I do really well, and there are certain sectors where I don't. Mm-hmm. But, like...
And when you say that someone is brilliant, kind of what are you... Like, when you encounter someone who's brilliant, what are you experiencing in them?
No, I think it's more or less just, like, people are, like, more well... Like, they're, like... People will be really into one thing, mm-hmm. right? And then they're like, well, Plato said, and it's like, mm-hmm. well, I don't know all about that. You know what I mean? Like, right. I didn't read the Republic 90 times.
But does that mean that they're brilliant?
Yeah,
or does
exactly.
that just mean that they're really confident?
Yeah, that's kind of what, like, I'm taking a step back.
Right,
you know
right.
what I mean?
I'm like, I'm curious about that.
Like
is...
the math professor I know, he's mm-hmm. brilliant. Mm-hmm. Like, he talks about the, and he is so open.
Mm-hmm.
He's always willing to engage. He's
so
always...
maybe openness is a sign of,
maybe.
Like, brilliance,
yeah,
actually.
Maybe.
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know, though, because it's like, if you look back, like, what's he actually? What's the guy that they did the movie A Brilliant Mind about?
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh.
What the fuck was his name?
Right. Oh
anyways,
my god.
He
yeah.
studied with
him. Russell Crowe's the one who played him, but I can't remember the guy's name.
He was a very
yeah.
not open man,
right?
Right. But he was absolutely brilliant.
Right.
But and I'm not trying to negate anything you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is that he studied with that guy. Actually,
one of
his claim to fame is he removed a virus. From that guy's computer, like.
Oh,
as a,
okay,
yeah.
okay. Uh-huh,
but
yeah.
I don't know if open, like, it, even though it would seem to be, because it's like maybe you're open in a certain kind of way,
mm-hmm.
but just not in, like. I think that is a mark of something, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
I mean? Because
mm-hmm.
I find that, like, at least from talking to some people, where it's like her, I can look at her and be like, "You'll never really like." At least this is my own pompous mm. asshole-ish mind. That's like I look at her, and I think to myself like. You just don't have the curiosity that's there to be like curiousness. That's like where
curiosity.
Yeah,
right,
if you're
right,
sitting
exactly.
there and you're just like, oh, we know everything. It's like, oh, well, good luck about the stuff that you really don't know about. But
I feel myself to be profoundly agnostic. Like, there's so much.
Yeah, it's
know.
Like, dude,
there's so much. I have
you can
no
read
clue.
Forever and still be like,
absolutely.
It is. I think one of the biggest parts, at least something that happened this summer, is that I've realized the value. Of amazing questions.
Yes. I love that.
Yeah, it's like, this is, every second that I get to live, I get to think about this.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Whereas, have you encountered an amazing question that you are, like, still kind of grappling with?
I think just, like, if you just, because this summer I reread, it's something I've been doing, but it's like, I like to stay up on, just like fundamental things.
Mm.
So I have this book that I bought. It was like $3.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Metaphysics and Introduction.
Oh,
right?
Nice.
Yeah,
I love
so,
those books.
Yeah.
Metaphysics for Dummies.
It's,
that's me.
It's pretty much like, it's just a guy, I can't remember his name. The hell was his name? Archie Baum is his name.
Okay.
He was a philosopher from the University of New Mexico.
Oh, fantastic.
And I like the way he talks in the book. Like, he's just, I like the way he says things. But, yeah, like, anytime I, like, stuff like that where you start to, like, really look at stuff, like, are these chairs the same? Well, they appear to be the same, but, I mean, they're at least different in the fact that they're two separate things.
Right.
But, like, are they actually different because they're the same in the fact that they're different?
You know
what I mean?
Right.
Even that, like, that's a silly thing, as opposed to, like, the hard problem of consciousness and stuff like that, to where it's like, that's a really good fucking question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where it was, like, somebody sat, like, David Chalmers sat there and thought about that, and it's like,
all the stuff that comes off of that. Like, when you start talking about, like, the nature of a mind, the, like, how it all happens in your head. I thought a lot about the free will thing, too. Like, and that's a lot, like, that actually changed my life, that whole debate. Because, like, thinking about that and realizing, at least, like, and not to mention, like, a brief kind of, like, introduction to, like, the Indian spiritual systems and stuff like that, and introspective techniques, and, like, looking at your own consciousness and, like, realizing that there's a lot of shit going on that you don't have any control over.
So when you say looking at your own consciousness, like, I'm so curious about that expression, because it's like, are we just looking at ourselves? Are we looking at something that's already within us? Or are we looking at something that is like, you know, when we use the expression of I'm looking at something, we're assuming that it's something outside of us that we can observe, right?
Does it necessarily have to mean that, though?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. Yeah. I'm totally asking
what do you
the question.
What do you think?
God, you know, I don't know. I just know for myself, like, and this is totally experiential, and I can't begin to talk about the origin of where this stuff comes from. But I do know from my own experience that I have had things come in, I'm using air quotes, come in, that I have no idea where it came from. No idea. Like again, oh, here's a perfect example. When I was telling you about Gandhi, right? The Gandhi movie?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? I had zero association with Indian culture. Zero. And I'm sitting among all of my classmates at 11, 12 years old. Not another one of them is having the same reaction. I mean, I am viscerally having an emotional response to this. Where did that come from? Right? I cannot begin to answer that question. I don't know where that came from. So is that something that, like, okay, we could say that, you know, something was rooted in my experience, right? Yeah, yeah. I had no experience with it. I had no experience with that culture, no experience with Indian people, had never met an Indian in my life. Never, like, prior to that, never saw a movie about India, probably didn't even hear of the country India. No idea. But something in that grabbed me at the deepest, most profound level. Without question, grabbed me at the deepest level.
So I guess, I mean, the question after that, I think, would be, is there something about, like, just the human operating system that would do something like that in a case that sees something? Right. You know what I'm saying? It's like, whereas, like...
But where does that... Where is the origin? Where's the seed of that thought, idea, that feeling? It wasn't even an idea. It was an actual felt experience of, I know that place. I know that place. And when I went to India the first time, and I told you I got off the plane, I was like, oh my God, I'm home. What does that mean? What does that mean?
I don't know. See, like, there's a lot about stuff like that where I've, like, kind of... I've questioned some things about lived experience in my, like, and I'm not trying to do this to what you're to,
oh no, please, yeah. I'm totally open to having my experience interrogated.
Yeah, I don't want, I that's not like my intention, because I've had quite literally no, like, I'm not, as a matter of fact, growing up Italian, you're taught, like, you never do nothing with the Irish, you know what I mean? But I love Ireland.
So it's like, right, really, right.
Even in that, though, you could kind of see some kind of, like, weird, like, where it's like, I'm rebelling. I'm going to go be Irish.
Right, but, I'm going to be Irish.
Yeah.
So do you mind talking about, like, your first kind of, like, association with Ireland and, like...
I honestly... So you don't remember, No, like, it literally is, like, within... It's in me. Like, I...
Yeah, right.
When I hear, like...
Gaelic music or something.
There's a song that they sung in Limerick. It's called Sean South from Gary Owen. And
I just have to say, you have, like, the biggest smile on your face now. You just are lighting up.
I think about the women and the cult, like, the way that it makes me feel is just, there's not, like, a word. It I would die for it. You know what I mean? So I don't know where that comes from.
Right,
I have no idea.
Right, exactly.
But at the same time, I can't honestly say to myself, at least, like, there's anything greater than, like, this is just a mystery. And, like, it's like, at least for me, honoring the strength of the materialist position, right? To where it's like, I have to, like, say to myself, at least for now, Because I try not to go too mystical, right? Like, I want to be mystical. I want to believe in stuff
you
like
want
that.
To be mystical, but you hold yourself back from being mystical.
Yeah, because it's like, it's like,
does it enter into territory that just feels too nebulous? Or
it's, yeah, it's like, uh-huh, it's like
conjecture, first, or like, yeah, oh, it's all just poetic bullshit.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like people go too far, I think, uh-huh, sometimes, uh-huh, and they're like, well, this is this, and this is this, and it's like...
With some definitiveness that they really are ascribing to it that doesn't exist.
Yeah, it's like, that's not necessarily... Like, you are just saying that.
Right, 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 right.
It's like, if we examine that, I'm sure that a different picture can be painted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, the materialist, the physicalist position prevails. You know what I'm saying? It's like, right. So we can't, like...
So do you think Ireland is somewhere in your, like, you know, neurotransmitters, your serotonin, your something?
I think if we're like, maybe when I was young or mm-hmm. something, like, I heard a jig played somewhere and, like... But I think it's interesting as to where, like, you don't really know where any of this stuff comes from, right?
Right.
Like, it's like... There are people who I know who have been raised by this in the same kind of environment as me who became murderers. There are people who were raised in the same environment as me who have went on to become physicists or went, you know what I mean? And I found something interesting actually in the most unlikely place, which was a documentary about Ted Bundy.
Oh,
which was, did you ever watch that?
I did. The one on Netflix.
Super good.
Super good.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally.
Just as
amazing.
A timepiece. It's like, wow,
oh,
this is like,
oh,
yeah.
Brilliant.
Like,
brilliant.
Yeah, super,
yeah, yeah,
super,
yeah.
Super crazy. But
yeah, yeah.
I remember him saying something because I guess when it came to his life, he didn't really have anything that wild that happened.
No.
Yeah.
Totally normal. Childhood, everything.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, completely. Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
And I'm sure that in like psychology or something, somebody's figured it out somewhere where it was like, well, maybe. It was, I don't know. I honestly, I won't even begin to, like,
but at
speculate.
Least in that documentary, what they shared was that there wasn't really some kind of trauma that could point to what led him to become the way that he did.
Yeah,
right?
And he said something in, when, like, at the time, like, somebody was interviewing
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he said, like, it was something to the effect of, like, it could just be down to, like, the flap of a butterfly's wings.
Yes, yes,
right?
Yes,
so,
yes.
So where it's like... And that's really how I see it, being a determinist, I guess, that, like, I look at it as you really don't know how all of this is affecting you. It could just be, like, this fire. I honestly don't believe this, but, like, just in saying it could be a possibility that this fire could be the reason why I watch a specific movie later. You know what I mean? It could be that. I don't know, but...
Well, it's interesting because because you brought up the Ted Bundy documentary. I'm watching, literally just in the middle of watching a PBS documentary on these two boys who were... in Chicago, this is in the 20s, and they both came from very wealthy families, very prominent. One, his dad was the vice president of Sears and Roebuck. The other one, I can't remember, but, like, at the time, one of the kids' family was worth $4 million back in in the early 20s. The other kid's family was worth $10 million. They were both geniuses, went to college at 14.
Holy shit.
Like, I mean, super privileged, super smart, had everything going for them. And they killed a 14-year-old boy. And during the trial, it was like, everyone's trying to figure out why. Mm. Well, there was zero motivation for it. And during the trial, the boys are smiling. They're like, and they're asking them, like, you know, reporters and everything are asking them, like, why did you do this? And they were like, it was fun. It was fun.
Wow.
And so there was nothing. It was great. It's a great cultural piece because... All, like, what ended up happening as a result of that was, because this is, you know, the flapper 20s, right? And,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Prohibition and all this. And they're like, oh, American culture is, like, loosening up its morals and we're corrupting our youth. And so, like, because everything is loosening up, like, kids are getting off on killing people.
Yeah.
Right? but it kind of goes to what you were saying about Bundy, right? Like, there isn't necessarily a causal... You know, you can't trace it back to some cause of why this happened.
Yeah.
And so, again, why do I have this gravitation toward India? Why do you have a gravitation toward Ireland, right?
It's, like, not so much, it's not so much that it could just be the fact that the cause isn't identifiable. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, that's a really, like, it's unconscious.
It's like
us.
It's just like a, like, you wouldn't liken it to that, but
it did
have that
interesting
effect.
Interesting. So maybe there was something...
Yeah, I don't know what I
that's
honestly
an interesting,
like, thinking to myself, I'm like, what the fuck, why do I love
right.
It could be just the look of the women, like, uh-huh. Like, probably not that, just that, but like, I do, like, I see there's a woman, and I won't obviously go too far into this, but there's a woman that comes to the cafe that I know personally that I met in school, and she's, I'm just like, I would give her my entire life just based off of looks, but obviously that's not, like, that's just silliness.
You and she's Irish.
You can cut that part out.
And she's Irish.
Oh, she's, a, it's just like everything, it's like born into me to love it. Like, just like,
interesting. Yeah, yeah.
Dark hair, and, freckles, blue eyes. And
same with me, like, I have the same gravitation toward India. Like, there are, like, just Indian men I find extremely attractive.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I just feel like this...
This reminds me of, I was actually talking to a woman who is, she's at UB, she's a neuroscience, she's involved in some kind of neuroscience, and, like, that's obviously, there's, like, some crossover there with philosophy of mind and whatever, but she was telling me about, and I read this in a book, actually, once about the, like, the random... undetermined, like the I can't remember what they're called, but they're like random firings
interesting.
In the brain where it's like they don't really know what the cause is. They're
it's almost like a blip or something.
It's like I really don't know how they register. I don't know much about that because like that's kind of what it arises as a question, where it's like when you're talking, and I'm sure Sapolsky would probably have something to say about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I'm sure,
because even in talking with her, because she was likening it was odd because she was involved in the sciences, but she was very, she was coming off very mystical. Like she was like, yeah, cause there's, you know, we just get, we receive these, ideas from outside of the whatever. And I was just like, okay, so are there these, and I remember reading about it in a book, and I honestly didn't think that she would know about it. The book was called Waking Dreaming Sleeping or some shit like that. It was about like neurophenomenology or something. I can't remember. I didn't read the entire book, actually. I only read like part of it. It was at a friend's house, and I regularly was visiting that friend. But so I asked her about that. I was like, well, are there random firings that are in like not determined, like you can't? And she was like, yeah, actually we don't know what they are. And she was like, she admitted right then, and then she went on the whole spiel about how these are the ideas that we get from outside of ourselves. And I was like, but you already admitted as to, like, we have no idea what those things are. So how could you possibly be saying one of those
that it's coming from some external something?
That, and it's like, you don't know, that could be nothing at all. It could literally not arrive in your conscious experience. It could be something that's happening, your toe twitches, even though that would arrive in your conscious experience. But, like... You get what I mean? It's you're ascribing, you're saying that
you're giving it some attribution that might not exist.
Yeah, it's like we have like she likened it to the man who knew infinity, that guy who was just like getting mathematical concepts.
Yeah, yeah, the Indian guy.
Yeah, yeah. What was his name?
I can never remember his name, but yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she was like, and
he went to Oxford, I think. Yeah, yeah, or Cambridge.
And
he
died very young.
Yeah.
He was a cool. That was a wonderful story.
That was a great book, right? Yeah. What was the name of that book?
I watched the movie. It was called.
There's a movie.
There's a movie. Yeah, it's good. You should watch that.
I read the book. Something about the clerk.
The movie was called The Man Who Knew Infinity.
I think the book is called something different.
Was a clerk. He was a clerk.
Yeah, exactly. It's something about
dude was just like doing mathematics.
He said that the Dakini came to him and gave him the insight. Like, basically downloaded the mathematical formulas.
He was like, these are thoughts of God.
Right. Like, he was from South India.
Madras, right?
Madras, exactly. Yep.
So, like, that's the thing is that it was like, you're just saying that. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't know what those are. And I don't know if that actually happens. Like, that's like, I want to believe, just like everybody else, that we get divine inspiration or whatever. But I can never actually say for certain. It's like, not only can I not say for certain that that's what's happening, I don't know what it would take to actually convince me
to be able to know that this is what it is.
Like, what would it take you? Like, what other than
to know?
Yeah, like even if God came down,
right?
And like you would probably,
I'd probably doubt that it was God.
Yeah, you'd be like, I'm fucking insane. Exactly. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, I'd pinch myself. I'd be like, am I hallucinating this? Yeah, I wouldn't believe it. Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, like...
Well, sort of to this point, too, so, like, I just finished reading Sapiens, and...
Oh, it's a good book.
Brilliant, right?
Yeah, I picked that up I was in an airport.
Oh,
and
so
it was
good,
in there, and I was like, what's this about? And I got on the plane, And it was, like, covered. I was like, this is amazing.
So good, right? Yeah. I couldn't put it down. It was so good. So, anyway, we were with Joel's dad the other night. And like, when I was here the last time, I recommended it to his dad. And it was so sweet. Like, we had dinner together. And his dad's like, he's like, I've got a great book to recommend. It's Sapiens. And he had forgotten that I had recommended it to him. It was so sweet. Oh. And so I was like, that's great. And, like, what do you think? And so then I told him about... documentary that came out, I think it came out in 23, and it's called Unknown, the Cave of Bones. Do you know about this?
No.
So the lady is like another species of hominids. And it's 300,000 years ago. So it predates Homo sapiens sapien. It predates Homo erectus. It predates everything, right? They found it in a cave in South Africa. They discovered this cave in South Africa. So what I'm getting at with this is that the really, for me, one of the most profound things is that in this cave, they found sketches on the cave walls that match sketches of the Neanderthals, that match sketches of...
This actually, I may have actually...
Seen this?
Is it like...
Yes! Super down, right?
I'm trying to remember...
Totally.
I think I did watch this. I can't remember anything, but I remember there being like... It was like... They were... Was it almost like a funeral, like a burial plot? Yeah, totally. Okay, I did see this, right? I don't remember much about it.
Yeah, so I don't know if you remember, but one of the cool things that they showed was, like, they showed these sketches that that were on the cave walls, like these scratchings on the cave walls, and they were like, these are exactly the same sketches that the Neanderthals were drawing. These are the same sketches that Homo sapiens were drawing. So for me, that's like, what is that? Mm-hmm. Like, why would these different species of us, right? Why would species, right? No, same species, but different iterations, right? Yeah. So, like, why would we, where does that come from? Where does that urge draw?
I'm wondering, genus, right?
Where is that coming from? And so, I mean, I guess, a big fascination for me has always been with, like, the collective unconscious. And, like, what is that, right? And, you know, because Jung talked about this idea of, like, there is this some sort of body of knowledge that exists that we as sentient beings, as human beings with a consciousness and an awareness and a mind, that we somehow are tapping into, no matter where we are in the world. You know, when we were separated by continents, right? And we had no way of being in contact with each other. Why do we have these same images?
I feel like there is a way, like, I know it's been used before, but it's like the OS, right, that we run.
Right. I love that, the operating system. Yeah,
like,
I love it.
Huh? I think that, like, because people do this, right?
But is that hardwired then? Do you think it's, like, neurobiologically or neurophysiologically hardwired into us?
Yeah, like, I mean, there are, like, S is P, right? So, like, there are logical ways that we can see the world.
Right.
And, like, that is the way we see the world.
But why would we draw things the same? What do you think
about that? Like, that's another, I don't know. But, like, right. at the end of the day, it's like, for instance, when people start talking about, like, the pyramids, right? Like,
Totally.
Like, that's
totally
a big thing.
Right. Oh,
where
totally.
It's like, oh, there's pyramids over here.
And there's pyramids over here, and they're constructed the same way.
Dude, maybe that's just like, you can't really, like, the grandiose conclusions that you're arriving at based off of the fact that these people built geometrical shapes are just, like, you can't get there to me. It's like, right. Where it's like, oh, the... Like, aliens were around.
Right,
and they were
right.
It's like, I don't know. It's a great mystery. It's a wonderful question. But it's like, maybe it's just, there's something in it. Like, it's also something to be said about the fact that Homo sapiens developed spiritual systems.
Yes, yes.
That are, you know what I mean?
Well, that's the interesting thing about that documentary with the Homo and the Lady, right? Is, like, they had funerary practices 300,000 years ago. And if you have this idea of funerary practices, where they, and I don't know if you remember from the documentary, but they found a child that was buried with a tool in its hand. Mm. And so why would you do that if you don't believe that there's an afterlife? And I'm not saying that that's the only possible theory. It could be that, oh, this was a special object and, you know, and it doesn't have anything to do with an afterlife particularly. But the fact that there is this notion that this is not just a physical thing that is coming to an end, right? It is not just a bunch of, like, chemicals and bones and marrow and all of these things that is just coming to an end and that's it. Mm. There is this sense of something beyond, I think.
Yeah, I think that that's, like, I always wondered about the nature of, like, an end, like, I shouldn't say the nature, but, like, the purpose in, like, a biological organism for something like an NDE.
Yeah.
I've always wondered that. Like,
right.
What's the biological purpose of, like, some kind of spiritual experience? And I thought about this recently.
Yes.
I can't remember what it was, because it could just be the fact of, like, where it's, like, random neuron, like, firing.
Yeah, it could be just some, exactly, like, right.
But that's,
like, the white light is, like, a, you know, some kind of neural firing that has to do with end of life.
Yeah, but it's odd, though, because it's, like, why does it have the qualia it has?
Yes.
There's, like, not everyone, too. It's, like, first, not everyone has NDEs,
right?
At least, like, that have passed on, or that come back, or whatever. Obviously, we don't know what the fuck. Some people have had terrible experiences, which is, that sounds horrifying.
Yeah.
But it's, why would it have any experience? Well, I mean, to the greater question about, like, anything as to, like, why it has an experience. Mm, you know what I mean? Like, like, how physical systems create an experience that is subjective is strange, but, like, I don't know, like, but if you just look at NDEs, even though we understand NDEs, I can't remember the name of the woman, but she did a lot of work. She know they're inducible. You can there's the people that did the NASA training or whatever. It's like almost induces the same kind of experience. But in that, with that being said, it's like, that doesn't really answer the question as to, like, why that's there, I guess, if there is any answer to that question. Or maybe it's a silly question. It could be, like, but, like,
well, in kind of new age circles, like, one of the ideas is that we are evolving into a great, like, we are evolving into almost pure consciousness, where our physical body is going to fall away and our consciousness is going to expand to the point of, like, where maybe we don't inhabit any material sense of being. That, and you know, like, maybe the sense of, like, an enlightened yogi, right? They're already sort of on that precipice.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess, like, I, when I think about, like, the evolution of our existence, like, what is it? And this is just purely for, like, you know, kind of curiosity without needing to have any sort of, like, okay, this is the answer. But, like, I do believe that we're evolving towards something.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I just have that sense, right, that we are evolving towards something.
Do you see that? There was a recent thing, actually. It was, like, people, like, we're actually, like, our brains are getting bigger.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and if you think about, like, how, you know, from embryo to, like, you know, full born newborn, we evolve from the base of our brain to our, you know, executive functioning, to our prefrontal cortex. And this is where all of that happens, right? Because the back of our brain, the amygdala, is all of our, like, instinctual brain, right? That's fight or flight. That's all of that, right? And that's what we would call, like, our primitive brain. As it almost seems to me that is our evolution as a species as well, that somehow it's a roadmap for our own evolution.
Mm.
I don't know. I just, because, like, one of the things that I've experienced, or, you know, or have talked to other people about who have had these, you know, maybe spiritual experiences, or who are studied as shamans or whatever that is. And also, like, psychedelic experiences can reflect this. That
my old professor actually did a thing about the
She just wrote about, it's in a philosophical journal about the philosophy of psychedelics.
And it was interesting.
The epistemic value of those kinds of experiences.
Yes, yes, yes. But what was her?
I didn't. She actually shared a friend of mine, her cliff notes or something.
Okay, cool.
Because it didn't come out yet at the time. I'm not even sure if it's published yet. But
okay.
That was But she, yeah, there. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
Because the problem I have with that kind of stuff is I don't know if your experience on, I have friends that have done DMT, mm-hmm. right? And that's, obviously the most profound thing mm-hmm. there is. And, I also have friends that have been to Peru
mm-hmm.
and have done,
ayahuasca.
Not ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. There's a, what's the other one? Mescaline?
Mescaline.
Mescaline mm-hmm. trips. Yep. And, it has a profound spiritual mm-hmm. effect. Mm-hmm. There are a couple things that, throw me off of, a weird, one thing is that, the message is never the same. Or it's, vague or, unclear.
What do you mean by the message?
It's all right, so...
So they get some insight, but it's variable between
people? Yeah, it's like one contradicts the other, right? Where it's oh, I felt like I was a part of I am the universe, and it's like a non-dual kind of experience.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then there's the other where it's they showed me everything about my life and, my soul. It was you know what I mean? This, I am this separate from...
Interesting.
There are gods I was talking to, you know what I mean? Separate entities. And it's, to me, that kind of, it's, well, art can, I guess a question for that would be, can both of these be simultaneously true?
True, right.
And then, another thing was, if they cannot be... One of these definitely isn't true, mm-hmm, right? Because it's one of two ways.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I and not to mention, it's there's also something to be said, at least in NDEs. I don't know about I do think it's kind of peculiar that DMT trips and stuff like that, they have wild attributes that people share.
Mm.
People be like, did you see that thing? And people be like, I saw that thing. It's what is that thing? Why is that thing arriving? It's you know what I mean? It's
you mean that they have a shared experience of it, and they're both experiencing that image or same
an
something.
Entity of a sort. And it's what do you mean, dude?
Mm.
But then again, it's you then have other people. I have a friend named Dave. Mm. I won't say his last name, but he had an experience on DMT that was just nothing. It was so trivial.
Mm.
And Dave is one of the most experienced space cadets I know. Has smoked DMT multiple times.
Mm.
And he was he told me about his last trip on DMT, and he was yeah, I'll never do it again. It was very scary or blah, blah, blah. But it was that's why it comes, it makes me question. I'm maybe this is all just a brain trick. You know what I mean? This, mm-hmm. it could just all be not even in saying that though, it's well, what does that mean?
What does that mean?
I don't know, but I tend to question there was something I pondered a while ago, which was do feelings validate anything? Because it's do feelings validate the existence of anything or a narrative, or do they only validate the feelings of themselves? Whereas if you're in a situation...
So it's self-referential, you mean?
Yeah, it's you're sitting here saying I've heard a lot of people be you have to value my lived experience in certain situations, but it's does that do anything for the actual truth of the situation? That's an actual question.
Can you give me a more specific example of what you mean?
I'm trying to think of something that's not an actual thing that happened.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whereas all right, if you could imagine, somebody goes into a store,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And, all right, you walk into a store, mm-hmm, say, and the person's stocking the shelves,
mm-hmm,
okay? And you're walking around trying to find something to eat,
mm-hmm,
and they're following you,
mm-hmm,
and you think to yourself, this
they're stalking me.
Yeah, they think I'm stealing.
But maybe there really has nothing to do with that.
Exactly.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So you walk out of that store...
Right.
And you're bent out of shape. You're angry.
Mm-hmm.
This motherfucker just followed me around.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And to you, that's Gospel of Paul.
Right.
But that doesn't say anything about what actually happened.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
when people start to say
this was my lived experience.
Yeah, I did this. Mm-hmm. I felt that. And you can't tell me anything else about how that felt.
Mm-hmm.
It's that doesn't do anything for the truth of the matter.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a truth, mm-hmm, to be had.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's I don't know. Like, that's why it's like, I tend to take like claims and stuff like that about I'm skeptical. You know what I mean? I guess. But I'm always, I'm skeptical to an extent. It's like, I want to believe just like everybody else in something that's greater than us. Right. Mm, and it's like, I just,
and why do we feel that?
Hope, I guess. That, and that in me, that's for me. Because, like, obviously, I'm probably like everybody else.
But why are we oriented that way? I think about that, too. I mean, why are we oriented...
towards, like, inclined towards hope or something?
Yeah, I mean, a hope I can kind of understand because I think it has a survival... Like, I think that having hope could be rooted in our sense of survival, right? Mm. Like, you know, we are wired for survival. And so, to me, I could see where hope is something that... encourages that sense of like, I don't want to end my life, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But what I was thinking more about or what I was referring to was when you said that there's something greater than me. Like, I wonder why we are oriented that way. That many, many of us are oriented toward the belief that there is something greater than me.
I want to believe that. I want to.
But also, you live your life in that way.
I don't, though. I think that... I don't know if I don't know if anything's great at all.
Go back to what you were just talking about in the beginning. You were just like, I want peace and I want
people. I do, but yeah, but like...
But, so that is something, a belief in something or a desire for something greater than
you. That's also, but like, in the saying greater than me, it's like, I also... live with the same kind of like mind that like this is all purposeless and none of it matters. If we all died tomorrow, fuck it. It would mean nothing to the universe. And there is actually no meaning whatsoever other than what we give to it. So like,
but why do we give meaning to things then?
I don't know. I wouldn't know that. I think it's like probably like we need it, right? Like to like as a, it's a functional thing. We need some kind of meaning or something to get along.
And that's unique to humans, you think?
Yeah, like, yeah. I mean, I there are so many things that are, like, I mean, I don't know if they are, right? But it's like, obviously, like, doing math is unique to humans, right? It's
right,
like,
we
don't know, we don't have any other kind of thing that we could say. Even though I think, like, I don't know if that's true. Like, I don't know if there's ever been any studies where it's like...
apes.
Yeah, like an ape was like, oh, two bananas. You know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right,
instead
right.
of one. Right. But, like, maybe. I don't know. But, like, that doesn't say anything about, like, those same... Like, if you gave that ape an equation or something,
kind,
it would probably just be like...
What about empathy in rats? You know, that's something that's been studied. They've shown that rats show empathy.
Really?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Many studies have been done that show that rats feel empathy toward one another. That's a very curious thing to me, too.
Yeah, that's... I don't know a lot of those things is where it's like... Those... Like, that's another thing, too, is that, like, either these things exist, like, this is something I'm not really well-versed in, but there's, like, the whole, like, idea about, like, conceptual, like, this abstract reality that exists that's, like, passed to us, right? That we, like, we look at and we're like, oh, there it is, like, we can, it's, like, higher than, like...
It's almost like a download
it's like
or something.
Plato's forms, like, kind of, you know what I mean? It's,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
they exist...
They exist out here, and somehow we access or download them.
Yeah. Where it's, like... And
would you conceive of that as being different than Jung's collective unconscious, or do you see a parallel?
It could be. I'm not, like, again, I don't know about that either, but, like, it could be, right? Like, where it's, like, something like that is, it could be. It's just like, well, how would you, like...
How do we know, right?
Yeah,
right.
There's like, I think there's some kind of like, that's what Colin McGinn actually said in that book, is that there are just some questions we'll never have the answer to.